Well, let's pray together. Now, Father, we pray for wisdom to understand your word. We pray that you will teach us how we can regard you as we should. And we pray that you will open our understanding further. Bless our hearts as we read your word this evening. Enlighten us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, let's look at Deuteronomy 17 this evening. And let's take a look at this idea of the offering things that we need to look at. And so this is something that we need to consider. We don't have the same type offering today, of course, but the concept is actually very, very important. It persists. It must stay all the time. Okay, so this is what we are. Hey, welcome back. Good to have you back with us. You miss us, right? Okay, we take a look at Deuteronomy 17. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God a bull or sheep which has any blemish or defect. Okay, now this is something. So read 16:21 together. Okay, so this is important so that you can see the context. You shall not plant for yourself for any tree as a wooden image near the altar. You will talk to Simon Nagaraj and he will tell you about the tree that he worshipped. It's so real, isn't it? There are people who actually worship these trees. I mean, it's really very real that we see this as something that you want to look at. Look, let's look at Singapore. So we got people who, just in case, people, if they're too old, a tree, not because of conservation, but because they're scared. Something bad might happen. So that's the whole danger that is there. Okay, this is important. Okay, you shall not set up a sacred pillar which the Lord your God hates. Okay, you shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God a bull or sheep which has any blemish or defect. That is an abomination to the Lord your God. Okay, now this is a real problem. Now, if you take a look at the book of Malachi chapter 1, and you'll catch a glimpse of how this lesson was actually not understood by the people. Okay, let's take a look at these things here. And chapter 1, and you'll see this. This is actually Deuteronomy 17. Okay, this is important for us. Okay, but let's take a look at this. Offering that has been there. Okay, so this is important. Chapter 1 and verse 13. This is Deuteronomy 17 and verse 1. Okay, Malachi 1:13. Okay, you also say, what weariness. Be careful. You see, the danger is after we celebrate, anniversary, Christmas, Easter, the danger is, oh, what weariness. Takes so long, so troublesome, must dress up, must go off to Shangri-La, why can't it be here? Watch. The weariness sets in, it is already sin. You see the nature of it all? Anything that you do again and again and again, it becomes weariness. Okay? Now, it's very important. That's why some people forget to brush teeth. Because weariness is sad. Some people don't bathe. Some people, you'll be surprised how this was in the past. It is a very serious problem in the past. The UK thing, the UK people were not half as clean as the Japanese people. Why are you bathing all the time? That's why you get sick. That's why you're so short. was a common understanding. You don't. Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria was known to bathe once in 3 weeks, 1 month. Hey, to us, what? I mean, we just almost cannot understand the ways of it all. But you see, the danger is very real. And what is the danger? When things you do becomes weariness. Right? And so after a while, studying the Lord's word, oh, what a weariness. And then you sneer at it. Ah, that becomes a problem. That's where it starts, you see. Right? That's where it starts. Sort of anything will do. That's where the danger starts. It begins not with the gift, but with your heart, with your spirit. You are weary. See, this is a problem. So then you stole something. Right? Oh, I forgot. I just grabbed somebody offering. They're my offering. But you stole it. You cannot take somebody's offering, steal it, and present it as your own. You can't do it. So the big question in Italy is always, if the mafia want to give to the church, can take or cannot take? It becomes a nightmare. If you don't take it, look, we are looking at 7 figures. Now, that is a problem. So the Lord forbids it. Right from the start, you cannot offer anything that is stolen. Right? You cannot offer anything that is lame. That very often the story is told, you know, this man was going to the marketplace and he was going to sell a cow, and on the way there he would give to the church. And one cow fell into the mud and then died there. Then he decided, actually I meant to give to the church that cow. So unfortunately, it died along the way. You see, it's so easy to come up with a lame excuse and say, that's it. It happens all the time. Right? That is always a problem. You see the weariness, and this is always in danger. So when we look at our every year that goes by, it gets harder and harder to excite people. Christmas is coming. Oh, Christmas. I mean, we become weary. The danger is to let it become weary. Easter, even wearier. It's just a word. And this becomes a real problem. You know, you just try to look at it, and it's important for us to look at very, very carefully. Okay, you sneer at it, then you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick. This one, last legs already. This one, having difficulty in breathing, asthma. Okay, you can hear the breathing of the animal from far away. Okay, give to the Lord. Why do you think the Lord needs such offerings? And unfortunately, I mean, this is a really bad situation, right? So this is something that you want to be very careful. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand? Oh boy. Cursed be the deceiver who has his flock and male and takes a vow, but sacrifice to the Lord what is blemished. You know, as if every sheep the same. How can you tell the difference? One sheep from another. Hey, the Lord made them. He knows. Unfortunately, this is wrong, you see. And once we have a wrong attitude, we have a wrong focus, we're sunk. That weariness is a killer. And this is something, so you could ask yourself, am I keeping up with, okay, am I looking forward to Christmas enough? Am I looking forward to next year's planning enough? To planning for next year's anniversary already? Of course. Right? We're planning for, in fact, I've got ideas for next year's Christmas concert already. Let's look at it. We might as well plan along, since we're going to wise men next week, we might as well plan ahead of time, right? So we're already planning for the family camp for 2020. Okay, so we're going to apportion this to here, and then 2020, another portion there. Be excited. After 21, don't know. But I hope to be around to see everybody ordained. Hope to be around. If not, you've got to do it on your own. You see the whole idea? You look forward to it. You cannot be weary. You cannot sneer. You can't. But the moment the weariness comes in, your giving of your service is rejected. That is a problem. I mean, it's a problem. The older you get, the worse it is. Now, this was a great challenge to my own heart. So we are looking at Habakkuk, the new study book, right? Yeah, that's what we know. I'm almost near to completing it already. So I want to get it done ahead of time because I want to study ahead of time. I want to get it all done. And once you start Habakkuk, I begin a new book. And it is not Habakkuk. You see, I want to be careful because I am in danger if I'm not careful, if I allow myself to be weary, I will end up sneering. And with that, I will give offering wrongly. My whole approach would be wrong. And that offering, that worship is rejected by the Lord. Wow, wait a minute. It's scary stuff. I'm not going to let that happen. You see that with the word of God? So Deuteronomy 17 is important. So it guards us against the danger. We've got to be ready to do everything that we possibly can to make sure it doesn't occur that way, it doesn't happen. Right? This is absolutely important for us. That very dangerous. Watch your heart, watch your spirit. It is something that you want to look at very, very, very carefully. What is it that we want to consider? Okay, so now look at chapter 17. You shall not, the same kind of language, you shall not, in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments type, same kind of language, you shall not. Okay, this is absolutely important. Now, we are looking at another problem that is important for us. And this is a problem that today has plagued the church because we do not like to deal with wrong practices, wrong concept, wrong ideas. We say, live and let live. Unfortunately. Well, let's take a look at this very carefully. Okay? If there is found among you, within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, a man or woman who has been wicked in the sight of your God in transgressing his covenant, who has gone and served other gods and worshipped them. Now, that is a problem. Okay? This is an idolatry problem. So if a person has wrong ideas of worship, wrong understanding, wrong practices, wrong doctrine, what do we do? And a lot of times, the church does nothing. That becomes a problem. You know, we don't want to say it too clearly, too loudly, just in case somebody might be offended. That is not how it should be. Right? This is important. See, we're non-charismatic. We state it right in the front. Non-charismatic. We are word-centered. Let's state it. We are word-centered. Right? That's how it is. And our stage is a stage where we worship the Lord in the old way. Right? It's not going to be a rock concert. That's what it's not going to be. That's what it's going to be. And that's what we are going to say it right as we are. No, we are not abashed. We don't feel bad to say it. We'll say it. Wow, you know, like you say, you know, it's no music. That's what Stanley, when he first came to church, he said, wow, how can this be a church? Where's the band? Now he's banned. Now he's on the right track.
You see, because we are so used to it, we don't even know whether it's right or wrong that we go. But that's not how to go. Right? How come the pastor doesn't rock? Well, that's how it works. And I hope you understand what this is all about. This is absolutely important for us. Okay, but let's take a look. If it's found in your midst, a man or woman who has been wicked, what is wickedness? Transgressing covenant. What is transgressing covenant? Most basic, you shall have no other gods before me. Right at the beginning front. But they have gone astray. What do you do? Now that is very, very difficult for us to understand. But it's something that you need to appreciate this. This is called wickedness. Now, we often think wickedness means you go and kill somebody. No. No. Worse than that is this idea of departing, transgressing the covenant. With reference to idolatry especially. And this is an important thing to study very, very, very carefully. Okay, one, who is gone. Two, serve other gods. Three, worship. I mean, let's face it. We have these problems. Unfortunately. So this is something that we have to ask ourselves. How do we go about dealing with a problem like this? Right? So this is something that we want to consider. Who is gone? First, the person has gone, meaning gone from the covenant. Two, the person is serving. Three, the person is worshiping. Now, what do we do with this? Right? Now, this is something that we need to look at very carefully. Years ago, when I was looking after another church in Serangoon Garden, I was assisting there. So, we usually go and visit. You know, last time to just establish a church, you do just invite people to come to church personally. Seletar Hills, when we first started, every single house I went to, Serangoon Garden, every single road, every single house I went to, tell the people about church. Now, I don't do that over here. Too many people here. But that was how we first started when the church was young and starting. So I came across a lady. And this was a dear old lady. And she said, oh, you come from church. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Please have a drink. I said, well, that's very nice of you. Some people said they're dogs. Well, this one opened the house. Oh, so that was a welcome change. Then she says, can I share with you something? You see, I have a special room. See, this little altar, I am totally dedicated worshiping Mary here. A whole room was just set up as a grotto, as a place of worship. What would happen? Now, this is something that we need to look at very carefully. Now, I was told just recently, I was speaking to Dr. Daniel Chia, and he was telling me one of the conversations that he had with somebody. And this person belonged to a church that quite a lot of people like to go to. And every time they leave matinee, they go to this place. I have no idea why. So this particular cell group leader was saying, teaching her class, Obama is the Antichrist. Wow. And Trump is the savior. Are you serious? And she was teaching her cell group. And the pastor doesn't know. Elizabeth, if I hear about you, you will get into serious trouble. I will sit you down in front of your parents. Of course, how can you, I mean, I hope you understand this. How can we allow this to happen? And yet, you see, false teaching, we don't take it seriously. Right? So very much, the student pastors realize, you want to lead in worship. You say one word out of mistake, you're wrong. Let's go back to it. You can't. You got to be very clear. This is Deuteronomy 17 in mind. That's why we do it. So if anybody has gone, the person has done something wrong, 17 will be bear in mind. So you better think very carefully. Maybe Steve will go back and never come back. Wow, he's very fierce. Well, Pastor Charlie, very fierce. Better not come back to be safe. In India, I say whatever I want. Here, cannot say anything I want. There, everything I want. Here, nothing. We have to ask ourselves, what is truth? What is what? How do we value truth? Now, that's what it is. Okay? One, gone. Two, serve. Three, worship. Serious stuff. Okay? What is it that they worship? Okay? Now, could be the sun. It could be the moon or any of the hosts of heaven, the Orion, the Bear, the Pleiades. Now, if you would, I mean, let's face it, when I was a kid, I was told, you cannot point at the moon. Why? Because very rude. Okay. Look at the moon, sheepishly. And from time to time, point. And then try to hide. So I always ask, what will happen when the point of the moon? The moon will come and cut your ear. And next morning I get up, why is it wet? It's bleeding. Oh dear, the moon came and cut my ear. How big is your moon? That the moon has got a surgical knife to just cut a little bit. See, sometimes the fear, you just... I mean, anything can happen in a bad nightmare. You can cut your ear without you. You think that's a moon. And after that, great respect for the moon. My old family, before we all... the early days, when it comes to the 8th moon festival, mooncake star meet, they literally offer worship to the moon. You must understand this. They actually offer powder, you know, compact powder, so that the complexion will be beautiful like the moon. If you understand the terrain of the moon, it is anything but beautiful. There are craters all over the place. But that was the idea. But look, beautiful moon. If you don't examine too clearly, yes. But if you make say, whoa, you don't want your face to look like the moon at any time, in any way. But that was how it is. That was that worship of the moon. I sort of dare not to say, you see, just in case, because already got cut once. So you sort of don't, just in case, you know, sort of, I mean, this is how it was. And that's why the Lord said right from the beginning, don't even start. How about the sun? Right? I mean, there are all kinds of people. Of course, right now, they're trying to make a voyage to the sun. Right? Well, as near to the sun as possible. 7 times nearer than the last vehicle. Then I read a joke about the Indian and astronauts. They also want to go to the sun. Even nearer. Right at the heart of the sun. They'll be able to, how? It's too hot. No, we go at night. you look at it and you realize, are you serious? I mean, so sometimes when we look at all these things here, and but of course, with a day when people walk on the moon, that is already gone. What is this moon? Of course, your old story is whenever there's an eclipse, as a child, you must take the gong and bang. Bang, bang, bang. Then the dog will release the moon Otherwise, the moon would be eclipsed forever. So as a child, you just take a gong, you beat very loudly. How did I become a Christian? How merciful, how faithful, how gracious God has been for a person. So when I read Deuteronomy 17, my face is a little bit red. But not from allergy. It is from memory. I mean, you look at it. I mean, the things that we were taught, the things that we believed in. You know, be careful. The moon is following you. You look. Oh, yeah, it's following me. It's following me. And you get scared. What? Oh, the moon is following me. Please don't. You go quickly to the house and hide behind the curtain and see the moon. Okay, the moon clouded. Okay, the moon is not seeing it. It's so real. I mean, seriously. Do you know what's the root word behind lunatic? Moonstruck. Luna. There. Moon. I mean, we know. The sun shall not strike thee by day, nor the moon by night. Because people believe that these were deities. There were powerful forces that controlled them. You see this kind of thing, stories in Korean folk stories are there, Japanese folk stories are there, Indian folk stories are there, Red Indian American folk stories are there, Chinese folk stories are there. They all involve all these things. You cannot refer to the moon as the moon. You must say the lady. Anio. You cannot use the word. How can you say it? Cannot. So when you talk about the moon, you cannot say the moon. Cannot. You must say the lady behind it. It's a title. Cannot. Right? So when you hear thunder, you cannot say thunder. You must say grandfather thunder. Lui Kong. You cannot say Lui. How dare you say Lui? It will strike you. Cannot. You don't say Gue, you must say Gue Nio. Ah, Nio is the word lady, noble. See, this was what we were taught. And then it became part of our language. That is how the people regard this. So this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. So be careful. Don't depart from these. Once you do, you're sunk. So there we go. Sun, moon, stars, and all the things. Worship the sun, the moon, or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded. And that is something that is very, very, very difficult to understand. And it's a very real problem, by the way. And it's something that we sometimes don't realize that was practiced. So the offering part of it was a danger, and this part of it was also there. And it is a very, very tough situation. Okay? So this is important for us that we must understand and appreciate. Okay? So this is important. Let us go on further. And it is told you, and you hear of it, you shall inquire diligently. So we want to hear. So whether the Indian brethren, they have brought some little idol in the house at Ang Mo Kio. We want to know. If you hear of it, if you even hear of it, Burmese little gnats here and there, they brought along with them, then you must hear diligently. Right? This is so important. So we must check. Okay? Diligently, you shall inquire. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination has been committed. You see, a lot of times we don't check doctrine, we don't check practices, we don't check our faith properly. So people get away with it. And that becomes. So weariness, sneering, bad offering approach, and then all the false ideas, doctrines, practices, you allow them in, and you're sunk. Once you start, it's very hard to get out of it. Right? So this is, what should you do? Now, this is important. Okay? Who has committed that wicked thing shall stone to death that man or woman with stones. Deserving of death. Now, that is, of course, at Deuteronomy 7, two or three witnesses, John 6 idea. We say John 5, sorry. You look at a John 5 idea, but two or three witnesses. But you see, this is important for us. We need to ask ourselves what we are looking at. You cannot condemn a person because one person said it. Right? So another person must confirm it. I saw it. I know it. Your part is to diligently check and see whether it is true. And only then can you determine what to do next. Right? So this is important. And all the way, right up to just before the ordination service next year. Right? And the two bands we found out they made a secret pact somewhere. Right? And they are worshipping something or other. And somebody reported it. It's up to us to inquire. We must ask it. Yes or no? Check. You've got to. And even if it is, you still have to deal with it. You cannot simply say, never mind. You can't. The preparation, the diligence must be undertaken. Unfortunately, it often is not. And once you don't deal with it, it just stays on, and it stays on, and it stays on. It gets worse and worse and worse. And that becomes a problem, right? As long as you don't deal with it, it gets worse. So two or three witnesses. This is important. You cannot put a person to death on the basis of one witness. Now, this is a real problem in the days of Jeremiah, in the days of Isaiah, in the days of Ezekiel. They were there. They got secret chambers. They have got inside the temple all kinds of things that they worship as well. And no one did anything to it. And so once you allow that to happen, the corruption sets in. And then it's from then onward, it's gone. Right? So I really hope you understand what we need to do, and we need to look at it very, very, very carefully. Now this is, of course, Old Testament. This is the days of the things which are there. Right? But what do we do in the New Testament day and age? Right? Because the idea of idolatry is no more in the New Testament. Right? Really. The one thing good that happened in the Babylonian captivity was that it was over. They would never, never have this problem of idolatry anymore. But it does not stop the problem. Really, it does not stop the problem. And the problem comes up in different forms. I think the worst difficulty is when you come to false teachings. And a lot of people, first, we don't know our own understand, our own true teaching, and then we look at false teachings, and they abound. Even in the days of Paul, this is why we learn from how do we deal with this. But let's turn to the book of Galatians, and we'll see this. This is absolutely important. Okay? Now, this is the spirit of it all that we need to adopt, and we need to deal with this very, very carefully. Okay, let's look at the book of Galatians, and we'll see this, chapter 1. Okay, and so this is chapter 1 and verse 6. Okay, 1:6, turning away who call you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Today, this is a problem. People turn, same idea. You remember, gone, serve, worship. Same. The concept is gone and really turn aside to a different gospel. That becomes a major problem. Right, look at this here. Which is not another. And there will be some who will trouble you, and they will tell you an angel from heaven preach any other gospel. That is a problem. Today, what is the gospel? And there seems to be all kinds of gospels out there. And unfortunately, right? So this is a real problem. In the days of the Tsar in old Russia, 1800s, late part of it. When the Tsar was there in those days, and they had what was known as the Russian Orthodox Church. And then came an evangelical situation where was a man called Red Stoke, Lord Red Stoke, high society type, came to faith in the Lord and began to share the gospel with people. Duchess, princesses, they came to faith in the Lord. Straight away, the Tsar and the church stepped in. All went to jail. That was how they stopped them from spreading evangelicalism. That's how tough it was. So when the Tsar fell, well, then of course they were released, but it was a very difficult time. Church of England, John Bunyan's time, 17th century, 1661. He spent 12 years in jail for holding meetings, sharing with people the gospel. 12 years in jail. The judges, the justices, and everybody said, look, you deserve, because you are not conforming to the Church of England. Now, that is the 17th century, 1661. Right? So this becomes a real problem. See, when people depart from the gospel, you form something which looks like religion, and it becomes entrenched, it becomes intractable. You can't get out. So they use the weight and the might of it all. Same thing with Romania, Russia. A lot of the communist countries were like that. And so the church is trying to stamp out the spirit of the gospel, just like that. Well, that happens. So the attack against the scriptures has taken on many, many forms. Just don't understand how it is. Paul's defense is, why you turn away from the gospel so soon? One gospel, that's it. There are lots of things that may pass off as a gospel, but actually it's not. Don't let it go. So that was what. So he says, any who preach any of the gospel, anathema. See, today, nobody says things like that. It's okay, let live. They got their own idea. Your 10 commandments, good for you. The only one is 7, it's okay. Then you can choose whatever you like, it's okay. That's how it is. And today, it passes off as anything and everything. Right? Robert Schuller developed a huge ministry called a Crystal Cathedral in California. The entire church was made of crystal. The piano was called crystal. Crystal, absolutely, grand piano. It got so rich, the government taxed the church, which is seldom done. Because the church is exempt from all these things here. Right? One generation. And then all kinds of. What was faith? Faith is when you can think positively. That is faith. And so he would tell story after story, and amazing situation. All kinds of dignitaries. Want to go to the church, must go to Robert Schuller's church. One generation, the second generation, the Crystal Cathedral is now no more. They ran up a debt of hundreds of millions. It was sold finally to the Roman Catholic Church. It's now called the Catholic Cathedral. It's gone. So there are many, many things that will pass off as the real stuff. And it may not well be the real stuff. You see, today we take a very lax attitude. The church has got there's nothing there, unfortunately. It can't even defend itself. It's so weak. And that has become a problem. Right? So this church is now subject to all kinds of... When I was in the 80s, I was in the U.S., and they were asking, how many denominations were there in the U.S. then? And they listed 135. They said, well, I know the Methodist, Presbyterians, Anglican, the Church Episcopalian, the Church of Christ, the Nazarenes, and so on and so forth. I couldn't come up with 135. 20 years later, revisited the same place. How many denominations? 1,500. I don't even know how they exist. What happened? In 20 years, from 135 to 1,500, how does that work? You see the problem? Until you can't even tell what is the difference anymore. What is a church? So a small little place, church. Every little church, everybody wants to do what is right in his own eyes. What is right? Unfortunately, it's not there anymore. So today, we don't know what it is. Some people think of Trump as a wonderful Christian. He's a defender of the church. But I'm serious. They speak of him as a defender of a church. On Sunday, one of the mates is gone home, returned home. She said, I'm going home for good. So she said, thank you for, we've been here and all that, in church and all that. So I asked her honestly, what do you think of Duterte as the president? And she said, Pastor, he's a good president. He's a good man. You have no idea how we all suffered when the drug lords were there. Sure, remember Singapore last time also like that? Not really. But you see, you have Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, iron hand, right? And he helped Singapore. See, that Duterte. She really admires this president. You see, we really don't know how to understand it, but you're not Filipino, so you don't know how to understand a situation where nothing works except in Davao. But now a few more things work. But they all say that he's a very tired guy and he just cannot run it the way he used to, shooting people left, right, center. But we're looking at, sometimes it's tough to draw the line to say this has got to stop. There's another shooting recently in the U.S. When is it going to stop? No. Guns don't kill, people do. Not the guns, it's the people. So you can have rhetoric and argue. See, the scriptures are very, very clear. You shall not go serve worship. Very specific. Sun, moon, stars. Anything else. Grotto, tree, whatever. Total. Gone. No. Right? And this is where we look at all the things which are there. And unfortunately, the church is made up of so many, many legends. Over in India, there's one church that's there where they defend that the Apostle Thomas went there to India to all that. And there was a big log jam, and they were logging at the log jam, and nothing moved it, couldn't get out of it until Thomas came. All he needed to touch it and disappeared. Everything just, And they have a relic of his being there. One of his fingers was there. So they have a whole church built around that one finger that was there. I mean, we have the church in all kinds of things today. We have all the, right? They were looking at the cross. They were selling bits and pieces of the cross. Right? How many people bought it? Several million. How many times, how many slivers of the cross can you divide into millions? Then what about the... But the funny thing about the cross, it grows back. So we cut off, we sell it, it grows back. So the cross was always there. Wow. They're looking for the lance that killed Jesus. They're looking for the robe that he wore, the purple robe. There's a whole story written about the robe. It's simply entitled The Robe. So, I mean, I read all these things here in the past. I don't know why I read them, but I read them. But it was pretty amazing how the, and you look at it and say, wow, what is this thing here? What was the cup, the chalice that Jesus drank from and all that? And they're looking for that all the time. The golden grail that they've been looking for. The Knights Templar. And now, of course, Brown writing books about all these things here. Dan Brown and so on and so forth. It doesn't stop. It really doesn't stop. If only we go right back to the Word of God. This is what the Word of God teaches. That's it. Right? So Galatians was one example. Let's look at how Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, and we'll see this. Right? And in chapter 3, well, this is what it's going to be. And this is where Paul warned. In the last days, this is going to happen. Perilous times will come. And that's what they will be. Right? And so in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll see a whole list of these things. Some will depart from the faith. Same, Deuteronomy 17. Right? They will give heed to deceiving spirit, doctrines of demons, and so on and so forth. Not going to stop. Right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you see this again where Paul warned about these things here. It's not going to stop. It's already here. And so 2 Thessalonians, and we see this, the great apostasy that is there. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders. And they will deceive. And this is what it is. And it's not something that will go away anytime soon. It's here already. And what is the church doing? Nothing. I remember a day when somebody was over here and they were saying that there will be an earthquake that will hit Singapore. And it will hit Singapore at the tax office. Do I remember saying that? That on that week, I was not going to go to any mission trip. I'm going to rearrange it. I'm going to stay in Singapore and say that this is not going to happen. And it was circulating in churches in Singapore. The great earthquake will hit Singapore. We're not in an earthquake belt. If we are in an earthquake belt, we all have serious reasons to be concerned. But that's how it is. Unfortunately, you're going to come. So if you're not careful, this is going to come. And we have to watch out very carefully. Right? So they will come in the name of prophets. They will come in the name of apostles. They will come in the name of people who are anointed. They are going to come in the people who say, did you see this video? Very blur. I saw the video. The person raised the dead. See, the person was knocked down by a car and he was lying down there. Then came along and he raised him from the dead. How do you know he's dead? No, seriously. I mean, there are times when you think, I mean, I've been in situations like that where I think the person died. And the person, stop it. Don't ever say that again. You do not know. The person, but not breathing. Not breathing. No sound, no pulse. But don't say anything like that. Because you can, sorry, dead already. Don't say that. So as a pastor, you learn, never say anything like that. Okay, you want to laugh, laugh now. Don't laugh at that point of time. That would be a disastrous mistake. So you have to be very careful. So these are things that you want to, don't ever go that way. So when it comes to things like that, we're all sort of thinking. So the seven-day, the Latter-day Saints, right? They were talking about a story how there was this angel called Angel Moroni. And Angel Moroni gave a slap of these things. Angel Moroni. M-O-R-O-N-I. And they actually believe that. Right? Now you have this Tom Cruise fellow who is the head, one of the senior people, Scientologies and things like that. Those guys are rich and powerful creatures. And they always really digest very against them. One day they took out and said, how come these people never get prosecuted, no matter what wrong they do? Because hidden among them all are all powerful creatures. And they are up there in high places. And you don't even get to become a member. They ask you. And if you have not been asked, you probably are nothing much. They only ask certain people to be there. Wow. And so it's really, really tough. What do they believe in? There's a spaceship. And only the elect will be on that spaceship when the world collapses. Where is the spaceship? Well, we know there's a jet in Seletar Hills that belongs to a Mr. Law somewhere, our neighbor. And that's it. So you do not know what it is. So there are lots of these things going around. I mean, there are certain things which are really, really unfortunate. The church is being affected left, right, center. But nobody wants to say anything anymore, unfortunately. You see, so after a while, a cult is no longer a cult. The Seventh-day Adventist group is now no longer a cult. It has been so sanitized. So now they're offering, would you like to hear this person? He give you organ lessons, piano lessons. They all invite to all the churches. Would you like to be there? No, I'm not going to be there. So I always have got this invitation, come for breakfast, pastor's breakfast, with all the groups. We're having a prophet for breakfast. I don't eat breakfast. I don't eat prophets for breakfast. Why all these things here? So, would you like to take a photograph with this person? You know, for you, early bird, only 150. Why would I want to be taking a picture and pay you $150 for? I mean, they're doing all sorts of things there to do it, funny things. There was one other group that said, would you like to donate? You can tell me what is your handicap. Right? We will arrange for somebody to play golf, given your handicap, just donate. So groups are going that way. We are adopting all kinds of methodology to do things like, why are we doing this? Unfortunately, that's how it works. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 17, 1 to 7. Make sure that these things don't come. That's the only way we can prevent our church from going any which way. Okay? The more pastors there are, the more danger. Each one has got his own special following. Where's your following? These are my disciples. Oh, really? What are their distinctives? We're going to watch out. So everyone sports the same haircut. Watch out. Each one wears a special earring. Watch out. Each one wears something different. Watch out. A certain color. Watch out. You don't know how you will come. I'm serious. And you never know how you will lead people away just like that. So hear this. As long as I'm here, I practice Deuteronomy 17 very seriously. Now, are there people who have left the church because I preach on this? Yes. They always tell, don't tell pastor this. See, we're studying this. But sooner or later, I get hold of the copy. I will be the first to tell you this is all wrong teaching. Oh, you know, if you study this, and your child will learn three times better than other children. Really? What formula are you offering? And they have all kinds of false teachings that go on around all over the place, all in the name of God. So you want to be sure that we want to be careful. We've got to hold on to the Word of God for dear life. We cannot afford to compromise our faith, our doctrine, the truth, for any reason, for anybody. I still remember one day a man came to me, he was about my age, younger than at that point of time. He came over with his wife, and he came to my house. He says, oh, I hear you've been sick. I came here with a gift for you. This is for you personally. I don't take things like that. He says, then I ask, what's all this about? He says, well, you know, my husband loves the Lord, loves the Bible, you know, and he very special knowledge of the scriptures, you know. He can even tell the difference between Pauline teaching and Petrine teaching, you know. Oh, really? Paul and Peter's doctrine, very different, you know. Really? Since when? He says he would like to teach young people about these differences. Here's a gift for you. $10,000. Please leave now. You're no longer welcome in our church. Short of saying your money perish with you, you think that this can be bought with money. Short of saying that. So when we began building Bethany 3, he wrote to me, don't do this. Other pastors older than you, more seasoned, would not dare to embark on a church like that program. You already got 5 stories. You don't need this one. Don't do it. It would be a hole big enough to bury you. We went ahead anyway. Well, he died shortly after that. Don't do things like that. But I want to say this to you. So are there people who will come over here one way or the other? They will come. Not going to give in to them one bit. We will stand our ground based upon the Lord's word. Deuteronomy, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians, Galatians 1, we will stand, so help us God. This has always been our position. We're not out to be popular, neither are we out to fight anybody. But we are going to stand faithful and true to the word of God, to the doctrines that have been given to us, for us to love, to study, and to defend. Right? So this is important for us. This is absolutely vital for us to consider. All right. Well, may we always be faithful as we begin 46th year. Let's determine. We will preach and teach the word of God. And we are not going to compromise the word of God for any reason, for anyone, for whatever reason. Not going to happen. So if you, young man, have a boyfriend and you want me to marry you, not going to happen at all, at any time. Not. Okay? So if there's one young lady and another young lady, am I going to? Not going to happen at any time. Great is the joy when you lead somebody back to the truth. In repentance and in tears, and a person says, I'm never going back. I'm coming back to church instead. How wonderful that is when that happens. We stay focused. Can we do it? Let's do it as we should. Okay, so may we remain true and faithful to the Lord and His word given to us. Okay, borrow the words of Martin Luther. Here we stand. God help us. And we are going to be faithful and true to the very end. Okay, will we be putting anybody to death yet? No. Are we going to stone anybody? No. But you see, we've gone past the Old Testament days. But the truth remains the same. Our commitment remains the same. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so very much for the truth preserved for us, kept for us. We pray for wisdom, for faith, for courage, for love to be able to hold fast to this word given to us. Help us on our part to study it, to understand it well, to make sure that we will not depart from it. And we pray that we will be found faithful, holding fast to the word given to us, till Christ returns for us, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here, and the Lord bless us as we hide his word.